Johnny, this is the Dream It Alive show. I'm your host, Ash Kumra, co-founder of DreamItAlive.com. DreamItAlive.com is a global community that's guiding you to create your dream life with visualization tools, dream boards, and helpful personal development content. So why not take that next journey, become the best version of yourself? Check it out at DreamItAlive.com. I'm really happy about today's guest because I think we all in our lives want to achieve happiness, want to achieve success. And of course, we want to have unconditional love anywhere we go and everywhere we are and every person that we are being with. And I believe the person who's an expert at all these things and above other things is Marcy Shymoff. You are probably familiar with her. She was one of the stars or featured teachers on the hit movie and book sensation, The Secret. She is a number one New York Times bestseller. Some of the books that she's written include Love for No Reason and Happy for No Reason. And she's also an author of six of the top-selling titles in the Chicken Soup for the Women's Souls series. She's done it all. I did a little social media observation of Marcy recently, and some of us go out and ski. Some of us go out and, hang out with family and friends. She got to hang out with the Dalai Lama. I mean, that just says enough about what kind of person Marcy is and what kind of access she has, and more importantly, how spread out her message is in making the world a better place. So without further ado, Marcy, how are you doing?
I am just doing great, Ash, and I'm so happy to be here with you and with everybody.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. I always ask our guests these questions around your past and how you got to where you are. Would you mind sharing us a little about your journey to how you got to where you are right now?
Absolutely. Be happy to. And in fact, it has a lot to do with what you talk about and visualizing. So I'll do the quick version of it. When I was born, I came out of the womb with existential angst. I was a really unhappy kid. I had a great family, and everything around me was great, and I was just unhappy. And I grew up, and that unhappiness stuck with me. But I started having, when I was young, these visions of what I wanted to do with my life. And the first one came when I was about 13 years old, and I saw a man named Zig Ziglar. This was back in 1971, so for those of you who are doing quick math, it makes me 57 years old. I'll do the math for you. Anyway, I saw Zig Ziglar when I was 13. I saw him walking the stage, speaking and inspiring people, and I knew that's what I was here to do. And in fact, at that point, I think I had my first vision or visualization of what it was that I would be doing with my life. I saw myself walking a stage like he was doing, traveling around the world, inspiring people. So I remember going home and telling my parents that I wanted to be a motivational speaker, and they had no idea what that was. but my mom teased with me. She said, "Honey, you sure talk enough. You might as well get paid for it." So so I actually pursued my dream of speaking. I got an MBA in training and development and started teaching in corporations, and I then started studying self-esteem with my mentor, Jack Canfield. And I had an amazing experience in 1994. I was starting to travel around speaking, but I wasn't speaking to the large audiences that I had visualized when I was 13 years old. I was speaking to small audiences of maybe 50 people, and I felt like I was kind of stuck. And I had this experience where I went away on a 7-day silent meditation retreat, and I saw this vision on the fourth day in the middle of one of my meditations. I saw this vision in my head of a light bulb that went off, and inside the light bulb were the words, "Chicken Soup for the Woman's Soul." And at the time, the only book that was out there was the original Chicken Soup for the Soul book, so nobody had thought of a specialty book. And as soon as I saw that, I said, "That's it. That's what I'm supposed to do. That's what's going to bring me in front of audiences of thousands." And there was only one problem with this little scenario, and that is that I still had 3 more days of silence. I couldn't tell anybody my great epiphany. But as soon as the silence was over, I ran to a payphone, and I called up Jack Canfield, and I said, "Chicken Soup for the Woman's Soul." He said, "Oh, my God, what a great idea." And he called the publisher, who said, "Oh, my God, what a great idea." And about a year and a half later, I had my first book out that went to number one on the New York Times list right away. And so all of this is to say that I've had really great experiences of visualizing, but it didn't bring me, it brought me success, but it didn't bring me happiness. And I had a real turning point moment in 1998 when I had everything I thought I wanted to be happy, and I still wasn't. And I had just finished giving a speech to 8,000 people and autographed 5,432 books and went up to my hotel room and plopped onto the bed and burst into tears crying because here I had what I thought I needed to be happy and I wasn't. So that's when I started studying happiness, and that's so now I have been teaching about happiness, and I told you I grew up really unhappy, and I can just honestly say that what I found is that happiness is a formula, that there's certain things that happy people do that anyone can do to be happier, and that's what I've done for my own life, and that's now what I share with people. So hopefully that was a quick enough version of
the last 57 years. No, that was awesome, actually. That was I think you set the world record for saying a life story in such a short time frame. That was awesome. You know, I'm curious about the whole happiness passion that you have right now, because I've been following a lot of, you know, trends and research, both scientific and also both from a passion base on what is happiness and how do you attain happiness. Mm. Why do you think it's so important to have happiness?
Well, I actually think it's the reason we want anything. So if you ask somebody what do they want, and they say, well, I want a great relationship, or I want, you know, more money or whatever, and you ask them why do they want that, ultimately the answer will always come back to happiness. But unfortunately, we've got it backwards in our society. We think that getting all these things is going to make us happy. This is the way we've been trained. And it's really the opposite. Happiness doesn't bring us success, but I'm sorry, success doesn't bring us happiness, but happiness can bring us success. And so we've kind of been going after the wrong thing. We've kind of been trained wrong. And I think this is part of why we have such an epidemic of unhappiness in our, you know, in modern day. Do you know that one out of four women is on antidepressants? It's staggering. And only very, very few people will say that they are really deeply happy. And let me just define for you what I mean by happy, because it may be different than what other people mean. I call it happy for no reason. And it means an inner state of peace and well-being that doesn't depend on our circumstances. And it's great to have wonderful circumstances, but we can't always control that. So what I'm talking about is having that freedom inside, that deep inner peace and joy that we carry with us no matter what's going on. And ultimately, I think it's the reason we're on the planet. I believe that Aristotle said that happiness is the be-all and end-all in life. It's goal of all goals. And it's really, I think, kind of our life purpose, our ultimate life purpose or life lesson here is to learn to develop this inner state of peace and well-being. And you know, ultimately, if we want to take it a step further, some people would call it oneness, a feeling of oneness with all of life. That's getting a little bit on the spiritual side, but that's probably the ultimate state of this happiness that we're talking about.
That's amazing, and I love the whole spiritual antidote. In fact, my next question was going to be about that. You must have some extraordinary habits or some rituals or some daily practices that you do every day to, I call, sustain that happiness or keep mm-hmm. that happiness going. What are those habits?
So I have a lot of them. and I wouldn't necessarily suggest that. Here's what I tell people. Just do the things that sing to you. Pick one or two things that you can do differently right away to shift your life. You don't have to do them all. So, I mean, I wake up in the morning early. I believe in this concept that we have circadian cycles, and that the quality of our sleep, actually research shows that the quality of our sleep will determine our happiness level the next day more than anything else in our life, more than our income, more than our marital status, pretty much more than anything, is the quality of our sleep. So according to the research that I've used, it's best to get to sleep by 10, We go into a different circadian cycle after 10. So I go to sleep by 10 at night. I wake up by 6 or 6:30 in the morning. And I get up and I meditate and I drink this wonderful, fabulous green drink. And I do gratitude practice every morning when I wake up, what I'm grateful for, what I'm looking forward during my day. I visualize my day. I meditate. I do a heart-based meditation. I do exercise. And then I am very fortunate that I do work that I love. I surround myself with people that I love. And at the end of the day, I do a gratitude practice. At the end of the day, before I go to sleep, I try to eat healthy during my day. I do a lot of Pono forgiveness practice, which is just a simple practice of saying in your heart over and over again, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. And I just say that like kind of as an ongoing background theme in my day. So those are some of the things that I do on a daily basis. And you know, I really want to emphasize here that this, I was not this way. I was not happy. So this is for anybody. You know, anybody can change their happiness level. I would have probably, back in the old days, given myself a D+ in happiness. I was almost failing. And I'd say now I'm an A to an A-. I'm always it's a work in progress. But I feel like I wake up in the morning and my life feels miraculous. And so there are really simple things that you can do right away to have that be the case in your life. And hopefully I'll get to share a couple of these practices with everybody.
Why don't you share them, please, if you don't mind?
Sure. Well, I'm trying to give you all of this because I know we also want to talk about how I use visualizations and all of that too. So there's so much to share. But let's just do one simple practice that I love to share with people because it gets such immediate results. And it's a practice called the Inner Ease Technique. And I learned it from a group called the Institute of Heart Math. They're the world's leading researchers on the heart and how it affects us. And they've actually found that when we're angry for just a few minutes, for about 5 minutes, let's say, when we're angry for 5 minutes, it can suppress your immune system for up to 6 hours. But when you're feeling love and ease and happiness for 5 minutes, it can strengthen your immune system for up to 6 hours. So the practice that we're going to do is we're only going to take 2 minutes. We aren't even going to take five. We'll take 2 minutes. And I want you to notice, I want everyone to notice how you feel after these 2 minutes are over. And Ash, are you okay to be my guinea pig?
I'd love to.
Great. So I'm going to ask you when we're done with this if you feel any different.
Okay.
So it's three simple steps. Now, you can do this, by the way, with your eyes opened or closed. So if you're able to, if you're in a place where you're able to, close your eyes, if you would, please. And if not, you can still do this with your eyes open. But I do ask everybody to do this because it's no fun just listening. So the first step is to simply place the palm of your hand over your heart. Now, that simple act of putting your hand on your heart starts the flow of a chemical called oxytocin. And oxytocin is dubbed the love hormone because it's what we have more of when we feel bonded and connected with each other. We have more oxytocin. So mothers who are breastfeeding or when we make love, we have lots of oxytocin. But just putting your hand on your heart like this right now is stimulating the flow of oxytocin. Now the second step is to imagine that you're breathing in and out through the center of your heart. So you can either feel that your breath is coming in and out of your heart, or you can picture that or visualize that, your breath coming in and out of the center of your heart. So on the inhale, breathing into the heart, on your exhale, breathing out of your heart at your own pace, but just breathing into and out of your heart. And now finally, the third step is that on each inhale, imagine that you are breathing in love, ease, and compassion. Now, your exhales can just be normal exhales as though you're exhaling from your heart. But every time you breathe in love, ease, and compassion. Now, you can either remember a time when you felt those things, or you can actually just say those words silently to yourself, and it'll still have a fantastic effect. So breathing into your heart, love, ease, and compassion. And exhaling out of your heart. And one more time, breathing deeply into your heart, love, ease, and compassion, taking that in. And on your next exhale, you can take your hand away, and you can slowly open your eyes if they were closed. And just take a moment right now and notice how you feel. Notice how you feel any different than you did just a couple of minutes ago before we started this. Do you notice any shift in your body? Do you notice any shift in your emotion, how you feel? And Ash, you volunteered to be my guinea pig, so tell me, how do you feel any different now than you did a few minutes ago?
Feels great. I feel a little, I feel laid back right now. I feel very calm and just very clear and feel a lot of gratitude for sure.
Great. All right, so what you just expressed are symptoms of being in what science calls the love response. It's actually a physiological state. We have the stress response, which we all know what that feels like. You know, you're in traffic and you're in the stress response most likely. But we can habituate this state that's called the love response. And the more we habituate this, the more we start to live in this energy of happiness and love. And now here's the thing. Doing this one time is a nice little exercise, and you might feel good for a little while, but it doesn't create real change in your life. But here's what will. If you just do this simple practice 2 to 3 times a day for the next 2 weeks, train your body to be in the love response, and that's when you'll start to notice shifts that happen in your life. So what I love about it is you can do it anywhere. You can do it while standing in line at the grocery store, or you can do it while you're on the phone with somebody, and nobody has to know that you're doing it. But just try it a couple times a day for the next few weeks and see if you feel a shift.
Okay. I think I'll make this a morning ritual. I'll do this every morning. Thank you.
Cool. And so what I would suggest is do it every morning and then do it again maybe sometime in the middle of the afternoon. So you're getting like 2 doses a day.
Okay. Okay. I'm still in that state. It feels really good.
Cool. Great.
I wanted to segue into some of the other things that you are very passionate about and is near and dear to my heart. I know for sure the Dream Alive community is you know, you talked about this earlier, how you use visualization. What role has visualization played in your life?
Huge. Absolutely huge. I will tell you, when I first realized the power of visualization was when I was in the 8th grade. So I was about 13 years old, and I was a chubby little kid, and I wanted to lose 20 pounds. And I put the worst picture of myself up on my refrigerator. It was like the most horrible picture, thinking that I could lose, that that's how I was going to lose weight. And every time I went to the refrigerator and I saw that horrible picture of myself, I got so depressed that I took out of the freezer a carton of ice cream and ate it. And I found in the first couple of weeks of doing that that I gained another 5 pounds and that this was not working. So I went to a magazine and I cut out a picture of somebody with a fabulous body, and I put my head on this fabulous body, and I put that on the refrigerator. And every time I'd walk by that refrigerator, I'd see this person looking, you know, just the way I want. I saw myself looking the way that I wanted to look, and I felt it. And I knew that a person that looked like that wouldn't go reach for the ice cream, and I would just go the other direction and move on. And that's how I lost a bunch of weight when I was a kid, was just through that very simple practice of visualizing. So I learned early on, and I'll tell you that ever since then, I've used vision boards. I've had miracles truly happen in my life from some of my use of visualization. Do you want me to share with you?
Yes, please.
All right, so 2 specific things that I think that everyone will appreciate. One is that when I went to write Happy for No Reason, all I knew was that I was writing a book on happiness, and that I was and that I knew that the name was Happy for No Reason, but I didn't know anything more than that. And I this was in 2004, and I wrote on a little card that I put on my vision board, I wrote these things. Happy for no reason is being published by my favorite New York publisher, and it comes out, and I'm actually trying right now to find the exact wording that I had on the card because it's a little bit long and I didn't totally memorize it. So I'm looking, I'll tell you if I don't find it in the next 30 seconds, but I think I can find it here. No, I can't find it. It was published by my favorite New York publisher, that it comes out in January of 2008, that I get an advance of X number of dollars, and that it become a number one New York Times bestseller and inspire people throughout the world. So this was before I had started a word of writing the book. Well, I put that card on my vision board, and I looked at it every day. I mean, I didn't consciously look at it. I just, you know, my eyes would fall on it because it was right across from my desk. Well, 2 years later, I went with my agent to New York, and I was interviewed by 13 different New York publishers, and I ended up getting a contract with my favorite New York publisher, just as the card had said. The book came out in January of 2008, just as the card had said. I got an advance to the penny that I had written on that card. I should have written a bigger number, which I did, by the way, for my subsequent books. I said on the card that I wanted it to be a number one New York Times bestseller, and it wasn't. It was a number two New York Times bestseller, and I'm not complaining. And hopefully it is inspiring people throughout the world because it's now in 33 languages. So everything that I wrote on that card came true, or the flavor of it came true. And do I think that it happened just because I wrote that card on that board? No. I did a lot of action steps too, but do I think that that really helped? On a subconscious level, absolutely. So that was one experience where, you know, I mean, I have the card still in it's in a storage box right now, but I still have it to be able to say, here it is. This is that card that said this. So that's one of the experiences. Another experience that I had that was really amazing was I wanted to find a house to buy, and I had been looking for a year, and I had no more time. I had to move out. I was renting a house, and I had to move out the next week, and I happened to be on this vision quest. I did this workshop that was a vision quest, and they had us draw a picture, and I'm not an artist at all, and they had us put specific things in the picture, and it could be of anything we wanted to manifest, and mine was of my ideal house, and I drew this hill, and I drew the house third of the way up the hill, and I drew it looking out over water with sailboats, and I drew some water, a body of water right in front of the house, and it was this very unusual, very specific drawing. And I, 3 days later, my realtor called and said, I've got to show you this house. And so I went with her to the house, and it was exactly the house that I drew on that vision board, and I got the house a week later. And it overlooked the sailing yacht harbor, and I mean, it was just a third of the way up this very windy hill, and it had a swimming pool in front of the house, not in the back of the house, which was so weird because I'd drawn that somehow on this paper. So, I mean, I just am so into the power of visualization and love, love, love what you do, Ash.
Thank you. I really, really appreciate that. you want to kind of segue into mentors. I mean, you mentioned Jack Canfield, and you know, I did that little promotion of you meeting the Dalai Lama.
Yeah.
Tell us about what you learned from these uber successful people and people that are living the dream life like yourself.
Well, one thing I learned for myself is that I wouldn't be where I am now if I didn't have mentors. My mentors have been the key to my success and the key to my happiness. I mean, I really, without Jack Canfield, I would not be where I am today in any way, shape, or form. I just am so grateful to him and his generosity and his wisdom. And I learned early on that successful people have specific habits, and if you use those habits, you too can be successful. I've also learned that happy people have specific habits, and if you do those particular habits, you'll be happy. And more recently, I've been very much exploring this concept of living a miraculous life, living in what I call the miracle zone. And I found that people who live in this miracle zone have specific habits that help them. They create conditions for miracles to happen in their life. And so that's my kind of exciting edge. That's what I'm doing these days with my world.
Okay.
Mentoring has been such a key piece to it. I mean, as you said, I just got to be with the Dalai Lama about a month ago.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I've been with the Dalai Lama probably three or four times, but this was the most. It was over the course of 3 days. We were at a gathering of the Nobel Peace Prize winners, and it was so inspiring to be in the room, not just with His Holiness the Dalai Lama, but with all these other people who have won the Nobel Peace Prize, and they are living. I'm so inspired by their greatness. And I remember one thing very specifically that the Dalai Lama said that impacted me years ago. He said this years ago in a smaller meeting that I was in with him. He said that he said most people, when they meet people, they look immediately at all the differences. What's different about that person than about me? And he said, I do the opposite. I look at the sameness. I look at that universal quality that we all share as humans. And I treat everybody the same way. If it's the man on the street or the head of a country, I treat them all the same because we are all, in essence, this just human soul. And I've always loved that. So I love being around these people because they inspire me and teach me how I want to live.
That's amazing. You know, I want to kind of segue into our final question is, you know, you've experienced a lot. You've gone through some amazing journeys with yourself. You have built this thriving practice. You've built this amazing brand. And, you know, I really like how you've taken happiness and how you've discovered what it means to be unconditionally loved and how to take success and keep elevating yourself and using visualization and vision boards. I want you to picture talking to the 21-year-old version of yourself. What would you say to that person?
Wow. The first thing I would tell her is to relax, have faith, it's all going to work out, and I would tell her to focus on loving herself. I think that is the core to everything, is self-love. And I would just tell her to focus on what she's doing right, so all of her good qualities and strengths, and to develop self-love.
Okay. Well, right before we go, I wanted to mention, what are you up to right now? Like, what is some stuff our viewers could be aware of?
Well, the thing that I'm most excited about is this, as I said, I'm exploring the idea of living a miraculous life, living in the miracle zone. And so about a year and a half ago, I started mentoring people in that. I took 8 women under my wing, and I mentored them in creating a miraculous life. And within such a short period of time, they were having miracle after miracle. So I opened it up to large numbers of people. And last year, I did a whole year-long mentoring program with 1,800 people from around the world. And we're just phenomenal things happen for them. I mean, windfalls and money and breakthroughs in relationships and health healings that happen, all kinds of things. So this year we're starting again, actually, right now, in fact, today, another year-long program called Your Year of Miracles, 2015, Your Year of Miracles. And it's a phenomenal program where we really help you live your life in the miracle zone, and we help you create and manifest the 3 most important miracles you like to have happen for you in this year.
That's beautiful. Well,
yeah.
I'm sorry,
go ahead. I invite people to go check that out at youryearofmiracles.com.
Okay, youryearofmiracles.com. Now, we'll definitely send a post about that too.
Beautiful.
Well, I just wanted to say, Marcy, on behalf of dreamandalive.com and on behalf of all the people that are wanting to make the world better, thank you so much for being a beacon of shining example and someone that's, you know, living their purpose and inspiring us to be our best selves.
Well, thank you. I love everything you're up to, and I send my wishes to everybody for a miraculous 2015.
Awesome. Have a good day.
Yep, you too.